Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up and keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
No, don't adjust your radio dials. This is Knockout Radio here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. I am not Randy Harris, nor am I Matt McClain. I'm the other Matt. I'm the audio engineer here for the show. Randy and Matt are en route to the studio. There was some technical issues, but they're on their way here. They will be doing the show today here on Knockout Radio. Just going to take them a little while to get here. So in due time, and to fill the time till they're ready to rock and roll, we have some interviews that they did in Vegas last week that didn't make air during Super Bowl week, but we're going to air them right now. We're going to kick things off with Randy and Matt sitting down with the one, the only, Carrot Top.
Okay, we are back coming to you live from the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Great day. Yeah. Things continue. And Mr. Las Vegas walks through.
Oh.
Carrot Top rejoins our show.
Yeah, how are you guys?
How are you, sir?
I'm great. This is fun.
Let's go back in time. Let's talk about Monday. Saw you at the big grand opening.
Yeah, that was fun, right? The stadium, that was really cool. Seeing all the players, they looked like they were in like little like boxes like this. Looked like they were toys just sitting there. You could just... That was great, though. I never been that close to those guys, and I even got to ask questions.
That's what I was going to ask her.
My favorite question?
Yeah. What was your favorite answer?
Favorite answer was probably, all the ones that were nice, they knew me. That was kind of cool, because the bet we had going into it that they were not going to know who I was. Because, why would you think Andy Reid would know Carrot Top is, or Travis Kelce, or Mahomes, or young people, you know? So, they said, you know who this is? And he's like, Carrot Top. I'm like, oh, that was cool. Then I asked the coach if the Raiders had a play called Carrot Top, an actual play. It was an audible. And I'm watching a game one day at home, and I swear to God, I hear, like, Carrot Top, Z95, Carrot Top, Carrot Top. So I'm like, my buddy's like, this isn't Carrot Top? I said, wait, you got to rewind this thing. We rewound it, and sure enough, Derek Carr's in the huddle. And he starts going, Carrot Top, Carrot Top, Carrot Top, Z90, Carrot. So I'm like, I see Gruden, and I'm like, is there a play? He goes, no, this is a play, and we have a play named after you. And I said, I was going to ask you about that. What is that? He said, we had a play that was so weird and stupid that it needed a name. Like, so it was kind of a thank you and a
backhanded slap, right.
But he said it worked 4 out of 5 times, better than a dentist. So it was a good play.
Ironic story about the dentist, because my daughter-in-law is suing a dentist. So that must be the one, that was not successful.
I mean, so obviously your comedy career is legendary. Yes. I aspire to be a comedian, as Randy knows.
You should.
But I think, in my opinion, the three hardest things are these things people should do in their lifetime at a young age, so it can define the rest of your life.
Right.
Stand-up comedy, because you're alone on an island. A triathlon, because you're humbled by people past you who are older than you in the same conditions and that beat you. And bodybuilding, because you're judged on your flaws publicly, basically naked. So of those three.
But Jimmy C said it's three different. Cry, laugh, and I forget what the third one was when he did in his big famous speech. So I'm trying to steal his line.
Have you done any other two? I know you were big into bodybuilding for a while.
I do work out. I think that's interesting. Not even a part of being an entertainer. It's just part of life. I always get so much grief for being in shape. Like, it's weird to be in shape and get in trouble for it. Like, if you're not in shape, fat bastard. But when you're in shape, people make fun of you just as they do people that aren't in shape. It's weird.
How come when you said you fat bastard, you looked at me?
I'll be at a gym. I'll be at a gym. They'll be able to say, oh, you're Carrot Top. You say, what are you doing at a gym? I'm like, you're a comic. What are you doing at a gym? Like, where am I supposed to be? Like, at a bar or doing drugs? And, you're not supposed to be taking care of yourself and being healthy. So I've always found that to be interesting. I've always worked out. I mean, I don't want to be, just want to be in shape. I don't care about being, you know.
Will you be at next year's Radio Row? Because we saw you last year promoting this year.
Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah, and we had you on the show.
Yeah, it was
then
great.
You're here promoting because this is your city.
Where
so,
is next year?
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans, and I have to be in New Orleans. That'd be amazing. What a great time. Then, I just ruined my own answer to a question earlier. I said to some station, I said, there's no other town, literally, I know of that can host a Super Bowl that has more to offer than Vegas. And I thought, well, okay, maybe New Orleans can come in second because there's a lot to do. But you got Bourbon Street and you got that, but you don't have the Strip. You don't have I mean, this town is done. You don't have Carrot Top in New Orleans. You have here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I ask fighters all the time what they're thinking. You know, they're getting ready to get in the octagon. They're getting ready
great
to fight.
Great question. I'm going to ask that too to a fighter.
Right. Well, since you're not a fighter, you're a comedian. What are you thinking as you're on stage? I mean, you have all your
same
props.
Same thing. Don't get knocked out.
That's good.
Same exact thing.
I've seen you walk with the stroller and stuff.
Yeah, no, you know, you think it's interesting. I think about, you don't overthink it, too. That's something I had, you know, believe it, God, you know, to bring Jerry Lewis, of all people. He came to my show before he passed away. And in comic world, you know, Jerry Lewis, genius. And he came backstage, and right before I went on, he said, what time are you going on? And I said, you're fine. We got, you know, going on in like 10 minutes. He's 10 minutes. And I said, yeah. He's like, Jesus, let me let you go. If I was going to go on in 10 minutes, I'd be throwing up. I said, no, you wouldn't. He says, you got to get ready. I said, if I don't know it now, you know, I got 10. So I try not to overthink it as well. And I was trying to tell earlier, they were asking about the teams that are getting ready to go out there. I was standing on the field the other night, and you don't ever realize until you're standing on a field in that the capacity of what it feels and sounds like in what it must feel like to be, I don't know, it's just on TV, it just looks so small and it seems quiet. And then you stand there and you're like, oh my God, what is going through their head? When, you know, I like, for me, it's like, you know, I try not to overthink it. I go, I'm going to do a show. I've got my show in my head. Hope the crowd's good. And you kind of warm up, you know, just vocal cord, do some, do a shot of Crown and go on stage and hope for the best. But same with football players. I'm sure they practice enough and they probably do it so routine that I'm sure they get out there and the coach probably tells them before the game, hey, listen, or what I would tell the team if I was a coach,
right.
I would say...
Well, you may be. You know, yeah, they're still looking for a few.
Right? They're still looking for a few. I would say, you know, first probably tell them that this is the biggest thing in your life and you, most of you will probably never see this again, just to kind of give them that and then say, but on the other hand, it's just another game. So don't overthink it.
Right.
It's just another game. Okay. Just remember, it's just have fun. Remember playing in high school football and your family's in the bleachers and how much you want to go to Dairy Queen after. That's what you do. So they have in their head both things. This is a big deal, but also, you know what? It is just another game.
Right.
I do that myself when I do shows. CBS came to film my show for the Super Bowl last week, and they brought in, I mean, my God, there must have been 30 cameras and cords and cables and all this stuff, right? And my crew was like, you know, oh my God, everyone was nervous. And I said, it's just another show. Forget the camera guys are there. Forget anything's there. Even though there's a guy literally standing in front of you with the camera, just do your act. And that's what we did. And that night, they're like, yeah, you're right. You can't overthink it and can't get over nervous. You just got to do the job that you had planned to do prior to.
And that's
Same with the fight.
I mentioned that to Donovan Smith, who plays on Kansas City. He played for the Bucks.
Yeah.
And I said, how do you just make this just another game?
Yeah, well,
it's hard.
He knows more than I do that answer.
Though. Yeah, you know, it's hard, but it's not.
So, I mean, Randy, you have a personal connection to Jerry Lewis. So you want to share the story? It's a good story.
I'll tell it. Hopefully, you know, Carrot Top doesn't take it out on me. But so my uncle was a very big media personality in Philadelphia many years ago. Jerry Lewis, Bob Hope, on and on and on and on and on. Lucille Ball, you know, he interviewed them all. So he was waiting to interview Jerry Lewis, and he was extremely late. And I mean extremely late, like hours late.
Yeah.
So my uncle waited. And he waited for him to show up, and as soon as Jerry Lewis showed up and as soon as his ass hit the seat, my uncle said, my time is just as valuable as yours, and got up and walked away and didn't interview him. And it's Jerry Lewis. You know, the young people don't have any clue. It's Jerry Lewis. So when my uncle passed away, we went up to help clean up and go to the funeral. There was a letter from Jerry Lewis's son to my cousin saying on how much his dad hated Brahm's dad.
Wow.
And I'm like, can I have this letter?
Yeah.
This is the greatest letter ever. Yeah. You know, he's like, no, I'm keeping this. This is motivation.
Wow.
You know, it's, you know, and it's, you know, some celebrities and legends like yourself stay grounded. And, you know, we've talked
before. I also
show
up in time.
That's right.
I do. I do. Actually, you know what's funny? You could ask my crew for 40 years if they said how many times if I've ever shown up late or started a show late, and I bet they'd say not once.
Wow, really?
No one. Wow. I get there 2 hours before the show every night, no matter what, unless there's something where they're flying me in, and it's out of my hands. But yeah, so should be very respectful time.
Absolutely. Wow. I ask fighters this as well. This is your job. You've been doing it a long time. How has it changed? Just not necessarily the process, but you know, the show going to perform. Is it the same excitement? Is it the absolutely. Same thrill? Is it?
I think it's even more excitement and thrill because I guess you get used to, you know. To go back, I met George Carlin one time. Well, not one time, many times. And one time, I had a question to him. I said, "What's it like to be where you are? Where you got it?" And he looked at me. He says, "What do you mean? I got it?" I said, "You know what I mean? Like you got it? He got it. You know, you're not like a young punk like me that's stressed out and worried about bombing. You go up there and you're a pro. You're gonna put on a show." And he said, "I ain't got shit, I'm still trying to figure it out." And I never forgot that. Uh-huh. But I think part of him, he really meant that. He was always trying to learn and do, but he did have it down. He knew how to do a show and then he'd be worried, nervous about doing it. But I think what was the original question?
Yeah, you know, just treating it, how has it changed, you know, from day one to now?
Because that's right, sorry. Getting old.
Before you answer, I was worried you were going to ask me what was the question, and I'm trying to remember what the question was.
The two old guys interviewing each other. Exactly. What's the question? You started the question. I don't remember the question. No, it is exactly what doing. So kind of to take what George Carlin gave me as advice, I kind of feel like a different way about it. I think that I do, in a sense, have it downed enough that's where it's changed. I go on stage now, I'm kind of calm before the show, and I know I practiced and done it so many times that I'm not worried about. I mean, there's a new joke I might throw in there that I want to make sure I don't F it up. You know, Toby Keith last night passed away, a great dear friend of mine. So it was like, you know, I wanted to do a tribute to him. So that was kind of a rough night because I was trying to do the show and I had this red solo cup sitting on a stool. Sure. And of all nights, we had a spot. We always have two spotlights. So I had this whole thing planned. It's beautiful. The spotlight was on me, and then the spotlight was going to go over to the red solo cup on top of the stool. And I say, "We lost a dear friend, and he's got the best seat in the house tonight." And God forbid if one of our spotlights didn't go out last night.
Really?
And right when I go to do the joke or the tribute, I said, "And sitting in the best seat of the house, if you could put the spot, do you have the spot thing? Do we lose a spotlight?" And now the crowd thinks it's a joke.
Right, right.
And I said, "Well, take the spotlight off me and put it on Toby." So they put the spotlight on the stool, and I'm in the dark, but it worked fine. But so I just told the story of, you know, knowing him for 30 years and being in his video. But it was just one of those things, like, there's taking a thing that you gotta right. off the cuff. You gotta improvise and be a pro and figure out how to still make it be a sentimental. So it backfired in a way, but it still was a nice tribute.
No, absolutely. Well, what is it like? And I know Matt got on stage once, and hate to use the word bombed because I got banned on Facebook for using the word bombed once. So I don't want to get banned again. Exactly. You know, what's it like? And again, many, many, many years, and you hear that laugh, and you hear that laughter. And we've been to your show, and it's awesome. And somebody gets it, it's funny.
There's no feel like it in the world. I mean, it can be compared to any other profession. I think anytime a comic gets a laugh, especially something, you know, you just wrote and you're so proud of and you get a laugh, there's no feeling like it. It's probably like a quarterback when he throws a bomb into the end zone and you're just like, there's that feeling you get. That's the same thing. It's the payoff. It's just, you know, fighter knocks out a guy. It's just that same feeling. And it is, believe it or not, with a joke and you're killing, you're dancing, and it's just great. You're like, there's nothing better. You go home and you just can't go to sleep.
So I think with Randy, you know, talking about how things evolved and how things changed with social media and with reels, you know, you see these funny clips, but it's a lot different to hold a whole show for our audience's attention. You know, who are your favorite comics right now that are out? Like, you look at and say, okay, these are the guys who are going to take the baton. When I hang it up, the comedy's safe because it's in these guys' hands.
There's so many young comics that I'm not even really familiar with anymore because I don't live in it. When I lived in L.A., I could go see all the comics that would come at the clubs, and I'd sit in the back and I'd say, oh, this guy's going to be a huge sensation. He's already funny. He's got the look. He's got the jokes. He's got. I'm still so old school. I go back to watching Carlin and Cosby and Richard Pryor and Gallagher and Gary Shandling, and there's just so many comics that I still go back and watch. But the young guy, Louis C.K. is a really funny guy. He got red hair too. He's a very clever guy. Chris Rock, brilliant. Dave Chappelle. These are guys that are just beyond legends. I mean, Chappelle's just, he's one of the best comics we've ever had.
For sure.
Ever. And Chris Rock too, but both brilliant and nice to me. That would fit Chris Rock's head.
yeah, for sure. So you mentioned the play that John Gruden put in called Carrot Top.
Yeah.
At your show, you know, you talk about, you know, when you've been an answer on Jeopardy.
Yeah,
and some
I was
of
just
those
an, I was just a, I was just an answer last week again. Just last week, they said something about something Carrot Top, and my phone blew up. They did there your question on Jeopardy. Jeez. So that's a good thing, though. It's fun. It means you've it's like the call play.
Right.
That's like. Like people say, when do you think you made it? I'm like, they had a play in the Raiders game called Carrot Top. I think I did it. I made it.
You're there. All right. So, again, you are Mr. Las Vegas. Will you be flipping the coin on Sunday? Are you involved in the game?
I'm probably trying to catch an Uber to – I'm waiting to get a ticket. I've asked everybody since I started to get a ticket. Everybody thinks I'm kidding. I don't have a ticket. So if anybody out there has a ticket, of all people, I can't find a ticket. I even saw the commissioner the day. He looked at me and waved, and I was going to ask him. Literally, I was going to ask him, and I just went, I'm not going to ask the commissioner of all things. Hey, you're not that busy. Could you find me a ticket?
Or the party. At least get to the party, yeah, and then get to a ticket. Care Top, thank you very much.
Yeah,
hopefully, we can talk again before New Orleans. Have fun. I'm sure you'll end up with a ticket.
Yeah,
and,
I hope so.
If not, we'll make a call. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Convention Center as we wind down Radio Row. This is Knockout Radio. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey there, this is Randy Jones. I'm the original cowboy from Village People, and you're listening to Knockout Radio, and you better watch out, because I'm going to be there before you know it. Take care.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Imagine vibrant banners fluttering in the wind, attention-grabbing vehicle wraps cruising the streets, and professional signs that showcase your brand with impact. At Compass Banners Printing and Wraps, we specialize in turning your ideas into visual masterpieces. Give us a call at 727-522-7414. Compass Banners Printing and Wraps, your compass to effective marketing.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Gilbert El Nino Melendez, Strikeforce Lightweight Champ, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, and we are back once again here with more of Knockout Radio on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Randy and Matt are still en route to the studio. They're trying to get here to our WTAN studios here in Clearwater. And while we're waiting for them to arrive here in the studio, we got one more interview lined up for you that took place last week in Vegas. I sat down with UFC star and champion Michael Bisping. We'll get that to you right now.
Okay, we are back as we continue our final day from Radio Row, talking tonight's Slap 6, tomorrow's UFC, and of course Sunday's big game, the Super Bowl. Let's welcome our next guest. Been on the show before. Very honored to have back Michael Bisping. Mike, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Very busy, tired, and apparently out of range on the microphone. But yeah, no, I'm good. How you been?
Not bad. You know, this is one of my favorite events. Radio yep. Row is absolutely unbelievable. But what really excites me, and I tell Dana this every year as well, I've covered the UFC longer than anybody, started at UFC 1, and, you know, back when nobody cared, cockfighting, this, that, the other, and how far the UFC and MMA has come. But watching mainstream media now accept our sport, your sport, the one that I'm fortunate enough to cover, what is it like to walk around this place and see what's happening and people wanting you and wanting to talk to you about your life and about the sport?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for covering the sport and being so passionate about it from an early start, because if it wasn't for guys like you, then maybe it wouldn't have got to where it is today. And it's funny that you say that, because I notice that all the time. It's always growing in popularity. And the kind of the way that I gauge that is, when I grew up in the northwest of England, this small, tiny little town, nobody knew what mixed martial arts was, and certainly none of my friends or extended group of friends knew what it was. But then when I log on to my personal Facebook page sometimes and I have a look on a Sunday morning or a Monday morning because of the time difference, and everyone back home in the town I'm from, they're all talking about the fights like they're experts, and they didn't have a clue. But to answer your question, walking around here, and yeah, you're doing all the big name media and stuff like that, they all have a pretty good knowledge of the sport, and it's fantastic to see.
What is it like for you, and, you know, when other celebrities from other sports, case in point, 2 years ago, Chuck Liddell's doing the show. Joe Montana is leaning over a chair watching Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
So what's it like when, you know, Pat McAfee or some of these guys are like, hey, there goes Michael Bisping, there goes Chuck Liddell. What's that feeling like?
Yeah, it's very surreal. It's strange. It's very, very strange because, you know, I mean, we're all certainly fighters. We're just normal guys. You know what I mean? We're just very, very normal guys. And then when you start to get recognition and things like that, it's wild. I remember my first ever like celebrity interaction, if you will. Where was it? I think it was UFC 60 or something like that, 61. I'm not sure. Anyway, I get a tap on the shoulder and I look around and it's Wesley Snipes. Uh-huh. And he says, how you doing, champ? And I'm like, do you know who I am? He's like, yeah, of course I do. I watched you all the time on The Ultimate Fighter. And I was like, and I was very uncool. You know what I mean? And he wanted to get away as quick as possible. You know what I mean? Right. But it's very, very strange.
So obviously England, Europe have a long history of boxing, combat sports. You now see Tom Aspinall on top of the world. You see Mick Terrell in the bare knuckle. Obviously your success in the UFC. So what's that like coming from a historical, you know, combat community to be the top of the threshold?
Yeah, I mean, like, so the UK's always had a steep history in combat sports. You know, obviously, as a country, they've always loved boxing for a very, very long time. But mixed martial arts was they were a little slow to the party, so to speak, you know. And even still, to this day, for example, like, you know, I'm very lucky enough. I do a little bit of acting. I hate saying that, but I do a little bit here and there. And last year, I was in Bulgaria, and I was talking about the UFC. Leon Edwards was fighting. Yeah. Right? And this other actor, who I'm very good friends with now, he's like, oh, I don't like it. He said, I'm the biggest boxing fan ever, but I don't like it. It's very brutish and thuggish, and it's a bit barbaric. And, you know, I had to take him to school and like educate him a little bit. And then I did talk sport, and there's this guy, Simon Jordan, who's a very well-spoken guy that owns one of the Premier League football clubs. And he was saying the same thing. He said, you know what? I went to one event and the crowd, they were very, very, I didn't like it. They were very rough. I said, all right, hold on a minute. I said, I can understand you saying that the sport isn't for you, perhaps. I said, but you're going to compare the crowds? I've been to many a boxing event, my friend. Okay. So don't say that we're some like lowest common denominator and we're in a much lower demographic because of our fan base. So that was crazy. But of course, you know, everyone's coming around now and they're slowly but surely understanding. And yeah, you know, listen, the UK is doing great. We've got Leon Edwards as champ, Tom Aspinall as an interim champ, and hopefully more to come.
You know, back in the day, you know, as you're telling that story, I had two disagreements. We'll leave it at that. On the street corner, one with Bert Sugar,
right,
who ended up becoming my boxing expert. We, you know, would always do the show. The other, Michael Wilbon. Okay? They disliked MMA. They,
yep,
even stronger than dislike, but, you know, yep, we won't, yep, go there. And I asked the one question, because you can dislike anything you want. Have you seen it? And they both said no.
Sure.
I'm like, watch it. And then if you don't like it, you know, at least you tried. But at least give it a try.
Yeah.
So I want to swing that over to tonight's event, you know, the power slap.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's the beginning of the UFC back in the day, and give it a try.
Absolutely. And this is what I say all the time. I mean, look, listen, you can't sit here and pretend it's as technical as a sport, because it's not. It really isn't. But in terms of an event, I truly mean it. When I'm commentating those fights, and I am having the time of my life. It is so exciting. We all love a knockout. It's one of the most exciting things in boxing or mixed martial arts, whatever. The knockouts are fantastic. They come thick and fast, okay? And the crowd go insane. It is such an amazing, exciting night out. And the way they put the show together and the production and, you know, just all the theatrics of it, it's phenomenal. And then when you hear about the backstories of these people that do it, because let's remember, Dana White didn't invent this. It's a thing that happens all over the world, okay? People do it for next to no money and behind pubs or all over the world, you know, in like some barnyard somewhere or wherever, you're right? So these people are doing this stuff anyway. Now they're having proper medical testing. They're earning proper money. They're getting sponsors. You know, there's one young man on there. I say this story all the time, Cole Young. His son has a very rare condition, which means, very sadly, he's not going to be with us much longer. And because we always speak to the fighters and we say, why do you do this? And he tells us about his son. And just today we were talking to him again, and his son has some big swollen stomach, and he's having a liver transplant. He's giving his son his own liver. Apparently his liver will grow back, part of it. I didn't even know he could do that. But he says this allows him to spend more time at home. And there's a lot of people that come from, you know, maybe they're mixed martial artists that couldn't make it. Maybe they're, for whatever reason, you know, life didn't go the way they planned it, but they've got a skill. They can give a shot. They can take a shot. And then there's other people. They're just pure adrenaline junkies.
Right.
They say, do you know how good it feels to stand there and let someone slap you like that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no. He says, but then you get to slap them back. Right? And I'm like, I get it. I can kind of understand it. You know? So all these people, they sit there and they ridicule it and they like to criticize. Come to a show, watch it. All right, granted, it might not be for some people, but I tell you what, you cannot deny the excitement.
I always tell, you know, people, who are you to tell somebody else what they can and can't do,
yes,
as long as it's legal. So I hadn't seen Power Slap. You know, I always say that I've covered the UFC since UFC 1. Well, I got on the Power Slap late. I started at Power Slap 3, okay? And I'm very invested in this, and a lot of the UFC know why. First, I wasn't real familiar with it, and you're right, the event was incredible. I lost one of my closest friends. It's a story I won't tell on air. I'll tell you off the air. Who told me, don't ever talk to me again, because I went to Power Slap instead of another event.
Wow.
I needed to go to it to see, to be able to talk about it.
Yep.
And just the adrenaline and everything of that night was incredible.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for later tonight.
Yeah, no, it is going to be another fantastic show, as always. And these guys, you know, they're showmen. You know, they love this. They put on a fantastic show. The lights, the music, the sound, the theatrics, the entire production. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger, you know. And while there's still people that criticize mixed martial arts still this day, there will always be people that criticize that. But if you came along and you gave it a fair shake, you'd probably enjoy it. Unless you're just the type of person that's going to get offended at everything. Right? So just stay at home and hate on everything.
So I feel like I've seen videos in your kitchen of your son trying to take you down, wrestling. As Randy has a son named Sean, you know, adult son, there's always that period where the son, right, overtakes the father. Have we achieved that level yet? Is he there to take the champ?
Yeah, yeah. So he comes home. He lives in San Francisco now. He was on a wrestling scholarship up there. And he's graduated now, but he's trying to make a life up there. I've said, son, of all bloody places to try and make a life. Why are you choosing the most expensive rundown city in the world? But anyway, I digress. But he comes home, and he's a big old boy. He's like 260, 65 pounds. I've never been anywhere near that. And, of course, you know, he was on a wrestling scholarship. He's a very good wrestler. So what? Every time he grabs hold of me, and I try, I'm not going to lie, he just throws me around like a rag doll. He does. But I tell him the same thing every time, and he knows what I'm going to say. I say, Callum, listen, remember, the best takedown in the book, left hook. Okay, you can't box for shit.
Funny story. So I have a studio at the house, and my co-host came to the house one day to do the show, and he opens the front door, and there's all he sees is legs. So it's my son and I were grappling in the kitchen. He didn't know if we were really fighting or anything. We were just grappling and having a really good time, which is funny. I hope this isn't a controversial question, but I'd like to ask you if it's okay. I have an issue with Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I say it all the time. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. I believe the fight wing, you're not a Hall of Famer. The fight is in the Hall of Fame. And when a lot of MMA media and a lot of MMA fighters disagree with me, I say if you go to the Major League Baseball, the NHL, the pro football, a football is in there, but not the person necessarily who threw it. They're not a Hall of Famer. And I always say it's disrespectful, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. If you don't want to answer, that's fine. I always say it's disrespectful to the legends, to the Hall of Famers. I mean, Frank Trigg is one of my closest friends. I literally love that man.
Yeah.
He's not a Hall of Famer. His fight is in the Hall of Fame. I'm curious, you know, if you would respond.
Yeah. Listen, I certainly see your perspective, you know, but I don't want to sit here also at the same time and criticize and take away any accomplishments from people that have gone out there and done that. But I do, I see your point. Of course I do. And, you know, but, Hall of Fame worthy fights like that are what made this sport so big in the first place, and it's why guys like me even had a career. You know what I mean? So I get your point. Maybe I should go into politics after this.
Yeah.
You're doing a really good job of not answering the question as a UFC commentator.
It is good. Before we run out of time, talk about Saturday night. The UFC is out at the Apex. What can we look forward to?
Yeah, I'm not commentating this one Saturday night, but I do know about the main event. I haven't studied the card from top to bottom. Obviously, when you're researching fight cards, it's a lot of work. And I love commentating the UFC. I'm so lucky that I get to do that. And still be involved with the sport at the highest level. So, yeah, truly passionate about it. That said, tremendous amount of work goes into studying for them. So I'm happy to have a weekend off this week and sit at home and enjoy it as a fan. But Jack Hermanson, I mean, he's very, very good. The standout performance, obviously, was when he heel-hooked Kelvin Gastelum. You know, he beat Chris Curtis by a close decision. So he's well-rounded and good on the feet. All depends. Can he take the power? Can he take away the hype of this young man, Joey Piper? I mean, Joey Piper apparently hits harder than Francis Ngannou. Not once, not twice, but many times. So it wasn't a fluke. You know, so incredible punching power. I think he's got a good wrestling pedigree. Trains with a good team as well. So it's going to be interesting because Joey Piper is handling himself like a superstar. Seems to have all the ingredients to be a superstar in the future. But you got to get through people like Jack Hermanson. And if he can do it in the fashion that he predicts he will, then who knows? Maybe we've got a big star in our hands.
No, I caught a flight with Joe's team, and great guys. There's a middleweight on his team that he spars with that makes me look like a child.
Yeah.
He fights in middleweight. It's unbelievable, the talent. And this truly is a global sport because there's new pockets from different countries all over coming to Vegas to showcase their skill.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's wild. It is. I mean, we got almost every country in the bloody world these days. Yeah. Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Dagestan.
All those stands.
Yeah, we got the stands. We got the Aussies. We got the Kiwis. We got the Chinese. We got the Brits. It's everywhere. It's great. It's a global sport. And it's like Dana White always said. He always said it. He said, if you're walking down the street and two people get into a fight, you stop and you watch because you don't need to know the rules. A good fight, anyone can appreciate it.
Absolutely. Final question for you. Sunday, Super Bowl, Kansas City, San Francisco. A, are you a fan? And who are you picking? Who do you like?
Yeah, so I will be watching because I always watch it. Obviously, I moved to here 12 years ago. You know, it's a big part of American culture. So, of course, I'm gonna watch and I enjoy it. I'm not a fan. Per se, it's not that I'm not a fan. When I watch some games, I enjoy it. I really do. I admire it, and I find myself intrigued, and I find myself sitting around and watching it. I just don't have a team that I follow. So I'm not like a passionate fan or anything like that. I don't have anything invested. When I was a kid, I always liked the San Francisco 49ers for some reason. I used to have a bed sheet cover that was San Francisco 49ers. I always thought that was cool. So I'll probably root for them for that reason. And so we don't, just to stick it in the face of all these Taylor Swift fans. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not an NFL fan per se. I admire it and I respect it. But if I was, and all I get to hear about is Taylor Swift, it would drive me bloody crazy. Right? So on behalf of every man and woman that watches the NFL for the correct reasons, I hope the Kansas City Chiefs lose. I hope they get destroyed.
There you have it, coming from the Hall of Famer, Michael Bisping. Mike, we appreciate your time. Thank you for stopping by. Let's go hit a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bumper Pool from the University of Arkansas. We just won the Outback Bowl, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Say goodbye to outdated equipment and welcome the latest smart technology into your home. With CoolBreeze AC, you can effortlessly control the temperature and create the perfect environment from anywhere at any time. Call CoolBreeze today at 727-954-3605. BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bert Sugar, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
What exactly are you doing?
What are you talking about? Dancing.
Why?
Because I'm having a good time.
Why?
We're here to entertain the people. That's the hardest thing to do in radio, is to act like you're at the greatest place on earth, but in reality, you're in a studio with you two guys. So being able to sell that fantasy when people can't see it?
Well, I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm Debbie Downer right now.
Man, you're always Debbie Downer.
Well, A, we're not in Vegas broadcasting.
We're not.
As cool as it was, having you there brought it down a little.
It's not true.
It's true. And then we, this is the first time there's a we.
Okay.
We left equipment in Vegas.
Well, I'd take responsibility for some of that. Okay. I was part of the breakdown crew.
You even helped on the breakdown crew?
I did. I took guard the banner, the Compass banner and signs, and display. And
I reached out to Alan and told him how awesome that was.
It's unbelievable. It was spectacular.
Anybody that needs any kind of banners, any kind of signs, any kind of wraps, I'm telling you, that's the place to go.
And you know, they're part of my tour in 2010.
Yes, I know.
The bike ride.
It's always about you.
I know. No, I mean, it's not about me, but like, I've known those guys for so long, and it's awesome that came back full circle because you met them without an introduction from me. So when they made the banner, I was like, whoa, those are my guys. So it was cool that they were part of the show.
I think Alan asked me not to mention them to you.
You're correct. there's a restraining order right. still in place, probably.
So he definitely wanted to leave it.
I'm
so,
a hard customer to make happy. I'm like you. I was never satisfied. Doesn't matter what design they gave. I wanted to like amend it or revise it. So, yeah. So it's nice that you...
So the reason that we were... 37 minutes late is we went to broadcast as we normally do.
Yes.
When we're in our home base from Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. And as I started to set everything up, notice I said when I started to set everything up, where were you?
I was in route.
Oh, late.
No, I was on my way.
Yeah.
I was cruising to the station.
So this is the second time I... / we. The first time, I don't think you were with us. I think it was at the CES, and I left it. And then, no, we left it, I think, at the PGA Golf Show. Because remember, it was a total fiasco. So now I have to go find a $485 power cord. Because you have to buy equipment. Nobody sells power cords anymore. Yeah. But that's why we were late. We were going to run those two interviews today anyway. So we just kind of stepped back, punted, and started the show. Carrot Top, what a good dude.
Awesome guy.
We've now had him on about four times.
He's the best.
And every time he gets better. More comfortable with us.
Yeah.
We had him on with Jimmy Denning when he filled in at the International Fight Week. We've had him on the last two Super Bowls. And fantastic. And then Michael Bisping. I kind of felt bad as I was asking the question. And I should have thunk that, you know, he works for the UFC.
Correct.
So he's not going to say anything negative, but he did kind of agree with what I said about the fight wing in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with your stance on it. I mean,
and so did Chuck Liddell.
He did, wholeheartedly.
And as long as Chuck Liddell... I don't know if we talked about this enough when he stuck his head on my shoulder. He's scared the living crap out of me.
Yeah, he did kind of breathe down your neck.
Yeah, he did. I was looking at that big-ass Samoan. You know, I'm like, what's going on? And next thing I know, a head's on my shoulder.
It's true.
So, great time, though. Great interviews, great conversations.
Unbelievable.
A couple legendary things happened. You know, obviously asking Wayne Newton to look at the bracelet was pretty cool.
Very cool.
And for anybody that doesn't know, which will be 99.9% of our listening audience, I'm good friends with the Bronx Wanderers, who is a kind of a doo-wop, even though they do play 80s and 90s and 2000s and whatever. It's a father, his son, and now a second son has rejoined the band, and two friends from high school. Kick-ass.
Unbelievable show.
Unbelievably awesome. So Vincent, the father, tells a story of a bracelet. This bracelet is worn by Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton was presented this bracelet from Elvis Presley. So Elvis Presley walks on stage in the middle of a Wayne Newton show and presents him with this bracelet. Changing, right? It's awesome. Well, Wayne Newton has taken that bracelet off one time, and that was to make a duplicate to give to Vincent. And so I went up, Mr. Newton, blah, blah, blah. Hey, can I take a look at the bracelet? And he kind of looked at me, even though everybody knows the story. And he showed me the bracelet. He goes, kind of looks like handcuffs, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah, it does. And he said, I said to him, I'm friends with Vinny and Vincent. He goes, yeah, I figured. You know, because why else would you, you know, put, right. you know, ask to see the bracelet? So that to me was very cool.
Well, so before you get off that, Bronx Wanderers is the only show. Well, let me say it this way. I've only missed one flight.
I was going to say, you've been late to other things.
I've only missed one flight in my entire life. I've never been that guy where my plane took off and I'm still here. I've only missed one flight in my life. And it was because of a Bronx Wanderers concert. It was such a great time, such a great energy. I was late getting to the airport.
But was it really the Bronx Wanderers that kept you late, or you wanting to hang with Tim Sylvia?
Well, Tim Sylvia was great, but we were hanging with Tim Sylvia during the concert. It was really just about getting to know those guys even better, even after they came to the restaurant, even after I already knew them. But to see their show live, that is Vegas to me. You know, Wayne Newton is Mr. Las Vegas. And that nostalgia of that old Las Vegas is where people had dreams. they would leave everything, go in there in hopes of becoming discovered, kind of like L.A. and Hollywood, old school. And to see that still alive, and to see that, it's just nostalgic, and it was just awesome. But I was a little bit surprised, Randy, because usually when Super Bowls occur in a city, they try to bring in talent or music acts from that city because that's where they're known. So I'm surprised they didn't do more of the Vegas, like Elvis and Wayne Newton.
Well, Elvis is dead.
Bronx Wanderers, but more tributes to the fact of like that's what you think of, the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Like, put on more of a show reflective of the city and where the Super Bowl's hosted. Because next year in New Orleans, as I'm dressed today, is you're going to expect to see Lil Wayne, Birdman, all the rappers from New Orleans probably for next year's Super Bowl.
Never even thought of it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's...
I saw Up with People in Miami. I'm pretty sure they're not from Miami.
Well, you were in L.A. and you saw Dr. Dre and you saw Snoop.
Well, I didn't see him. I didn't see him.
But they did the halftime show because it was in L.A.
Were they from L.A.?
Well, that's where Compton. That's where the rap, you know, West Coast rap.
Who did it last year?
Last year in Phoenix was Rihanna.
I'm pretty sure she's not from Phoenix.
She's
from everywhere.
Well, I don't know if there's anybody that ever came out of Phoenix. I'm sure there is. What music group came out of Phoenix?
I don't know. Why don't we ask the doctor? Hold on.
River Phoenix. I don't know where he's from.
What musical act came out of Phoenix?
There we go. Google's great.
Here is information from All Music.
All right.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
JFA.
I don't know what that is.
Me either. 46 more, so let's see.
Oh, God.
Artists from Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
Dierks Bentley. There's the first two.
Okay.
I'm just reading the ones out. Jordan Sparks.
Okay. That's American top.
Yeah, American I think she was American Idol.
American Idol.
Mr. Mister. Come on, let's go back to the 70s.
Mr. Mister.
Or 80s. Sun City Girls. I have no idea who they are, but I'd like to take a look. Well, Sacred Ranch, Alec Benjamin, Louis Nash, Jody Miller. Andrew Jackson. Call. They could bring Andrew Jackson back.
The president?
Andrew Jackson Jihad.
No, that's good then. I mean, they did the right thing bringing in Rihanna for that because none of those could have headlined a Super Bowl. But you would think that they would wait to do Usher and Little John and all the Atlanta-based performers, Alicia Keys, that they would wait till it came to Atlanta for a Super Bowl.
No, nope, there's another page. Let's go to another page. I don't know. Dierks Bentley's decent.
Yeah, but not a headline. Country singers don't ever headline.
What?
Super Bowl.
There's some that could.
Who?
Blake Shelton could.
A whole Super Bowl?
Reba McEntire could.
She could open it. She could do the Star Spangled Banner.
No. She did. but she could be the main one. Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks is booed off a stage. You don't want all the fans negative before the game starts.
My God, I'm going to punch you in the face right
Ask
now.
Google about Garth Brooks being booed.
I ain't asking
booed.
Nothing.
It's a thing.
Darius Rucker.
Okay, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, it wouldn't be Hootie, you know.
Well, it's got to be all of them.
Well, it's not.
Can't be Darius Rucker.
If I was told the story properly, Darius does one show a year when they do their big golf tournament in South Carolina, where the Blowfish come back to join Hootie. Otherwise, it's Darius Rucker.
Okay, so hold on. So in
should
a world
always
of,
tell you if you're ever in a band, make sure you're the lead singer.
Well, but what about the intellectual property? I mean, it's like a marriage, right? If you have a band and you create a hit song, then the band owns the rights to the music, right?
Depends. Did you not watch Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, when allegedly, and my brother, who's a big Queen fan, said, you know, the thing that he didn't like about the movie, because it was a great movie, is Freddie Mercury is dead. So he couldn't respond to some of these things that put him in a bad light.
Right.
Right? So we don't know the truth.
Sure.
But, you know, in the movie, when he walks off, and then when he comes back to perform at Live Aid, they all agree, the other three, that in order to allow Freddie Mercury to come back to Queen, because it really wasn't his band. He joined the band, according to the movie, that they had to make changes. Like, everything is split in quarters. So, obviously, before, it wasn't. So, it's all up to the contract.
Sure,
of course. You know, it's like here. It's 100% me, zero you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the way it'll stay.
Right, right.
Our property.
Yeah, it should stay that way.
Right.
Yeah, you exactly. Don't want me to be a part of it. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to change it.
Oh no.
No, I am going to change it. It's 99. All the equipment that's here in Pinellas County is mine, and anything that was left in Vegas is yours.
Oh, great.
All right.
That's nice.
So if you can fly back and get that cord, we really truly need it.
I'm busy.
But you know, so that's how it comes down. You know, we don't know what Hootie and the Blowfish's contract was.
Sure.
You know, they were all friends from college and blah, 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 blah. You know, another band that grew up together and kicked ass, and then the lead singer said, see ya, Lionel Richie, when he left the Commodores.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Lionel Richie was in a band?
Yeah, it was called the Commodores.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were pretty good.
Commodores.
Because of Lionel Richie.
What's a Commodore? Is that a bird?
Well, it's also a military rank.
Oh, brick really? House.
Yeah. Yeah, Brick House. Well, you've heard that song.
She's a brick
house.
That's nice.
All right, so we briefly talked about the Carrot Top. We briefly talked about the Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of things that happened in Vegas that I'm sure I don't know about that you did. Because I'm seeing photos that are popping up. They're like, when did that guy come to our booth? When did... Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. That's when
it was wild. It was, I mean... I don't know about you, but I have like a hangover, like not from the movie The Hangover, which Jason Kelce dressed as a character from The Hangover. But I have like the hangover of just, there's so much stimulation. Getting home, I needed like a day or two just to kind of get back to some sense of normalcy.
Well, but that's always coming back from Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, just the time difference. And then add... all of the hassles, my back hurting from carrying the show, carrying all the equipment.
Oh, my goodness.
Leaving some of the equipment.
Yeah, you didn't even carry all the equipment back.
Worrying about, is your plane going to land? Are you going to make it? Are you going to be okay in those flip-flop shoes of yours? Then you bring the broken red shoes home.
Oh, you brought them home?
You brought them home.
I didn't bring them home.
You gave them to me to bring them home, so you brought them home.
I figured you would have left them with Greg. I thought maybe a souvenir.
It's a party.
I mean, he seems like a guy that has a lot of memorabilia, like collectibles. So I thought he would have the only set of Naked Pizza Man
clown
red
shoes. Clown shoes.
On the earth. I mean, I thought maybe you guys would separate them. Like, he keeps one.
Clown shoes.
And you kept the one that's broken.
The hell are you wearing?
I'm wearing... Super Bowl 59, New Orleans, next year. Got to get ready. I'm dressed out. Look at that. That's Reggie Bush.
You're going to have a ticket next year? Is that how you're going?
These are Caleb Bittenot's shoes from when he played for the Bucks or for the Saints.
Speaking of Caleb Bittenot.
Yeah, that's our guy. It's our New Orleans informant. And next year, we'll have Mardi Gras at the same time as the Super Bowl. So it could rival... Las Vegas as far as excitement and just over-the-top fun.
Caleb Bittenot.
Yes.
So Caleb Bittenot put a post up.
He did.
Which I totally disagreed with.
Uh-oh.
And I will disagree with.
Okay.
I will address it at the top of the next hour.
Okay.
Because we only have, I don't know, 2 minutes or so.
All right.
You know, before we go to break. But Caleb normally is spot on when I agree with him.
Yeah,
I disagree with him on this.
Really?
I don't know if there's a human being on planet Earth that will agree with a response that Caleb Bittenot made about the Super Bowl and about our friend, not yours, ours, mine, Caleb's, Donovan Smith. You know there was 4 ex-Bucks on the team?
Oh, was there really?
Yeah.
I know there's one from St. Pete who won a Super Bowl, played for USF, the receiver.
Okay.
He's the first USF player to ever win a Super Bowl.
Not true.
Oh, no.
It's not true.
I thought that I saw that caption.
So who gave you that bum information?
I think it was Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter would be wrong. Fake news.
Really?
Fake news.
Who's the first?
What should we give away?
I mean, it depends. I think, you know, obviously pushing people to the YouTube channel to subscribe.
No. What should we give away? Not the hat is the YouTube thing. What should we give away?
My shoes?
Renaissance Festival tickets.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that works.
All right. So the first person that either calls in, sends us a message through knockoutradio.com, rents the Goodyear blimp and puts it up there. If they can tell me a USF player that has won a Super Bowl ring before whoever the hell you're talking about, we'll give them not 2 but 4. Tickets to the Renaissance Festival.
4 tickets. That's a lot.
I'm pretty sure
that's a big
I know.
Prize.
I'm pretty sure I know. I would be shocked if I don't know. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss Caleb Benenat's comment. We'll discuss a whole lot more when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator.
Marquise,
we'll be back
Valdez,
at the top of the hour.
MVS.
Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Zachary Bryan from Home Improvement. Got a movie coming out called Slammed, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris. Watch out, Randy.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.